Well, good morning, friends. It is so good to see your faces and to be together in this place and to be in the sanctuary, the safe place where God meets us, and to be in a community of love and care and a community of resurrection hope in a moment like this. So I'm so glad that you are here as we gather in the name of our trustworthy Savior, Jesus Christ. We have changed, I think you may have gotten the word, our original plan for today, and our special music Sunday for Christmas will be next Sunday. I think we'll hopefully be in a better place to be in that place and to be ready to celebrate in that way. And we're going to shift our focus today instead to prayer and hope in the face of the disaster that we have been through and are experiencing, to rest for a moment in God's mercy and care, to pray for those who have experienced loss, great and small, and to share in Holy Communion together as the best way we could think of to remind us that we are not alone. We are also gathering in various places, hopefully if people have the means online, and so we want to say a special welcome to those who will be joining us online from various places around the country and in our community, and we are so grateful for you and for our connection to you, even though we aren't together in person. We are together in spirit and in Christ. On the Sunday after 9/11, I gathered with a congregation, and we began with the words that many have used throughout the millennia to remind us of God's goodness from Psalm 23, which is, as you know, a declaration of our trust in God's goodness to us. And they have been used by many to claim that trust. So today, as we call ourselves into worship, we will share the 23rd Psalm together. The words are found on page 137 in your hymnal, and will be on the screen. And so let's join together, and if you would, let's stand. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. All right, we're going to join together in singing hymn 400, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. It's page 400 in the hymnal, and let's sing together.
take a seat.
I want to offer a prayer for us this morning. This comes from a book called Every Moment Holy. It's actually the second volume of that book of prayers that offers a prayer for almost every circumstance in life. And some of those are everyday, sort of very normal kinds of moments. And some of them are like this one. And this prayer is a prayer for a moment of disaster. And it is fitting for us and for what we are experiencing together. So would you find yourself in the presence of God? And would you take a deep breath to breathe in His goodness? And let's pray together. O Christ, whom even the wind and waves obeyed, have mercy on us. For we are small and frail in the face of the furious elements that swept away so much of what we know. We have lost neighbors, and in the same moment of devastation, many have lost places that were once called home. For all those grieving loss of life, and for all those who will somehow need to rebuild their lives, we pray to you. We are not strong enough, O Lord, to withstand the weight of a creation that groans on such an inhuman scale. We are small and finite in the face of catastrophe. But you, O Lord, are not diminished by disaster. You created the cosmos as a canvas wherein your glories are displayed, an ordered temple where your people might delight in communion with you. The wild forces of this sin-rich world will not trespass those boundaries forever. A day is coming when all creation will be calmed of its chaos, never to harm or terrify again. You will speak, O Christ, and nature's insurrections will cease. You will speak, O Christ, and the creation will be released at last from its long bondage. You will speak, and all your children who were lost to those disordered elements will be returned, rejoicing in the rightness of your remade world. And if that is the end toward which all of history is flowing, then would you speak that same calm now, O Christ, over us, over the wild forces of pain and fear in our own hearts and minds and imaginations, and over all our losses. Would you sing into our sorrow that same eternal song of resurrection hope? Now meet us amidst these present ruins of our lives and your creation, O Lord, and whisper in these wounded places true rumors of their coming restorations. Gently woo our hearts again into your light, where we might find our rest in a quiet yielding to your love. We know that a long rebuilding lies ahead. Be our strength, O God, in the days and years to come. You are our mighty fortress and our shield. We will wait for your deliverance. We have no hope but you. In the season of Advent each year, we spend time finding and getting in touch with our great longing for Christ. For the coming of Christ and for the second coming of Christ, for the coming of Christ into our world through the means which he has provided, including and not least of which you, Advent means coming. And so we celebrate this coming of Christ each year to remind us of his ability to enter our world. So we thought we might sing an Advent song today. It is still the season of Advent. And so we are going to join together in this hymn, hymn 196. And the words will be on the screen. Come thou long expected Jesus. Let's sing together. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, it's really hard to have words of wisdom, words that make sense in a time like this. And truthfully, there aren't words that fix things, even words of faith that magically fix anything, as we know. And there's no need for that with each other this morning. That's not what we're here to do anyway. Yesterday we saw a lot of destruction and loss. rebuilding of our beloved town is going to take a while. And the grieving of loss will take us a while as well. Some of us longer than others, and for some that grieving will be for the rest of their lives. And yet, while no one would choose to experience a natural disaster, I think many of us would say if we had to choose the where and the who, we would gladly choose. We would gladly choose Bowling Green. And I would gladly choose the people of Broadway United Methodist Church. We made that choice 15 years ago. There have been some really, really, really good times. And there have been some really hard times. But I am grateful for you for the opportunity to shoulder this life together. Yesterday the sun rose, and for many it was worse than we thought. For some it was already clear what had happened. But then as the sun got higher in the sky, we saw other things throughout the day. A community leap into action to help. We saw friends and neighbors checking in on each other, some meeting for the first time, some connecting and ensuring one another's safety. We saw people joining to clean up. We saw people asking how and finding ways to help and to give. We saw some doing things just whatever they could. We saw others living into their life's calling for such a time as this. We saw people demonstrating goodness and help to one another. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and of earth. And his help comes through us in so many ways. One of the things that I was just simply moved by yesterday and wanted to express to you was how many people reached out to us to check on us, to try to find out how they could help, literally pastors and congregations from around the country, from California, from Louisiana, from Texas, from various places around our country. And they all expressed their prayers and the way in which the congregations around the country would be praying for us this morning, and I wanted to pass that on to you. There are times when communities can come together. There are times when we do, and we will see at the same time the worst in life and the best in life. And in this strange mix of those things happening at the very same time. And that is perplexing and overwhelming and wonderful and hard. I want to thank all of you for helping, for the many ways that you have, through your prayers and through your care, for showing love and for demonstrating some of the best in life with your Christ-like presence to one another and to others. In a very difficult time. I want to express that there are ways to give, and I think we have a slide to show that. I want to make sure that you know how to help. UMCOR is an organization that we are a part of through the United Methodist Church, and it is always a good way to give. And then the American Red Cross is of course at work in the community as well. And we want to support that work and the shelter that was at South Warren overnight, and the ways that they will continue to work in the long-term recovery of our community. We have a saying around here: we were made to do hard things, or we can do hard things. We have been saying it a lot over the last several years, unfortunately. And I'll have to admit, there was a moment yesterday where I asked Jenny, does it seem like we just have to go down through the list of all the hard things that you have to do and experience to prove to ourselves that we can, in fact, do them? That was not a pity party. Well, I think maybe it was for a moment. We were made to do hard things. It has been a mantra around here for the last several years. We can do hard things. They're actually both versions of that truth. They come from nuanced places. In fact, the phrase began with Megan Davidson a few years ago, introducing it to the daily language of our culture. Anytime things got hard, she would remind us we can do hard things. Pastor Wayne Hunter, who also passed away in 2019, when he came to Broadway, he had his nine truths. We have talked about those nine truths. One of them, I was introduced to them in the job interview. I've never, ever had someone tell me their nine truths in the job interview. Well, I have now. And his thought, which he had developed, was we were made to do hard things. And his point was that life can be both difficult and very good at the very same time. And sometimes life is very hard and very good. We're all going to be dealing with our losses, and it will take its own work to do that. The rebuilding work physically, the rebuilding work emotionally, the rebuilding work relationally, the rebuilding work spiritually. It requires its own energy. Sometimes we will not be at our best as we do that. Sometimes we will have high aspirations for our ability to push through and to rise above, and we will just fall flat on our faces in our humanity and in our frailty. Sometimes we will have the best of intentions, and then a sharp word or any number of actions out of anger or frustration will win the moment. Perhaps not to win the day, but there will be moments for sure. And at the same time, we will deal with some of the most difficult things in life, we will see some of the most beautiful expressions of care and community. And it will be both messy and ugly and sad and heartbreaking, and at the same time, good and beautiful and joyful and life-giving. And that's our mix for the foreseeable future. But in the end, we believe the goodness prevails. That the good wins out over the hard. We can do hard things because we know God is good and is our help. And that His goodness can be expressed through us. We will be very often the goodness other people will see. And we will be their reminder that they are not alone. Natural disaster can reveal a lot of things. It literally, physically, takes it down to the bare bones or to the ground. It will reveal our humanness and our frailty and our vulnerability. But it will also reveal our connections to one another. The kinds of things that cannot ultimately be destroyed. This is what we mean when we say it shows the things that really matter. And that's a simple way of saying that nothing can break the bonds of love and actions and expressions of grace. And we will discover that those things are stronger than we even realized. Just last week, I was sitting with one of our members, and we were just having lunch. And you know, I'm the philosophy major, and she's actually was a nursing professor, and she said to me, "Do you ever wonder?" And I love sentences that start that way. Do you ever wonder if God just made this world in a way that we are all linked together somehow, and that the joy of life is simply going about and trying to figure out how? Sort of like we are when we realize that we're distantly related to each other. You trace the lines and figure out the connections and the second cousins and the grandparents who were married to, and sisters and brothers. But maybe all of life is intended to be that way. And one thing a disaster can do is just push everything away so that we are able to see more clearly those connections that were there all along. There is no destruction that can tear us down all the way, and nothing God can't put back together. Disaster can actually reveal that. It can reveal just how much we need God and one another. No disaster can tear down and break down the fundamental goodness of this creation, knit together by a good God. And in the end, and in the most fundamental way, not even death can separate us from God and from one another. We will grieve and are grieving, and many will grieve deeply, human loss in this kind of communal disaster, in this kind of national disaster, in this kind of moment. We will grieve deeply. But every single Sunday, we throw a little party to remind ourselves that not even death can separate us from God and from one another through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's not as easy today, but we will have the same celebration the church has been having for a very, very long time. Our God, who has been our help in ages past, will be our help in years to come. Yesterday, I was in the living room of Lois Willis. Last Sunday, we said that she, at 11 o'clock, we said Lois was going to turn 103 this week, and she did. And when I announced that to the 11 o'clock congregation, she put up her queen wave and worked the room to tell everyone that she loved them. And I was in the living room on her birthday. I think it was Wednesday. I'm losing track of time a little bit. I think it was Wednesday. I was in her living room, and her family gathered around her, and she was holding court. She was very upset that I couldn't stay for a sandwich, and she chased me out the door trying to give me one. And we prayed in her living room a prayer of gratitude for 103 years of life. Yesterday, I was in her living room again. A tree had fallen on her house, broken out the window in the room next to where she slept. And she was shaken. And she was in one piece. And she said, "I'm so sorry, I'm not gonna be able to be at church tomorrow." And she has seen 103 years of good things and hard things, a lot of it through this church. The last story I'll share before we come to communion is I was walking around the corner from my street, and our home was just almost untouched, and right out our front door, someone lost their home. And so I was walking out from Camden Court out on Ironwood Street, and our first neighbor is Scott and Barb Higdon, who come to our 9:30 service. And Scott had, as I walked up, I noticed that Scott had a shirt on that he had intentionally chosen to wear yesterday. And he had to go into his dark closet, as I can imagine, find it somehow. And that shirt said, "We can do hard things." A statement of faith and trust in God's goodness. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, the one who made heaven and earth. And this is where we place our trust, in the very goodness of our God, who has conquered this. And has conquered even death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And my Pastor Joe to come forward as we remember.